Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thank you so much for joining us for today's teaching. We are honored to be with you and look forward to learning from God's Word together. We believe the principles in the Bible are for every one of us, and it is for our own good when we apply these principles to our lives. God understands us. He created us and knows what is best for us. It is on us to learn and obey His commands. Today, our lesson is from the first seven verses of 2 Corinthians 8. This lesson, as well as the next three lessons, are about different aspects of giving. I've already heard some people say, "I will start giving when I have more to give." I'm guessing you've also heard this excuse. Some people think they don't make enough or don't have enough to be giving now. The Bible never ties giving to making or having a certain amount. All His children are expected to give. And today, we're going to look at the heart we should have as we give. That is where this lesson starts. And today, our title is The Heart of Giving. And Pastor J. Mark will share three motivations behind a giving heart. Let's go with him now for today's lesson from 2 Corinthians 8.
Sometimes when we talk about an issue or a situation, we ask this question: what's the heart of the matter? In other words, what's the core issue or the real reason behind the situation? We're looking for causes and not just symptoms. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus contrasted good men and evil by saying this: "For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." In other words, a man's life gives evidence of what's really in his heart. Solomon put it this way: "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul takes up the subject of giving. The context is a physical need, and the giving is financial. So we may ask the question, what is the heart of giving? What is it that motivates God's people to give to the needs of others? That's what we want to discover today from our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 through 7. I hope you can join me for this study. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. And here is the Word of God. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." I believe this text highlights for us several motivations that reveal the heart of giving. The first motivation that I see that reveals the heart of giving is a dedication to God. Paul said, "The reason for the generosity of the Macedonian believers, despite their extreme poverty, was this: they first gave themselves to the Lord." That motivation is at the core of genuine biblical giving. You may already know this, but Christ followers are not the only people who give generously. Many of the wealthiest people in the world give vast sums of money to their favorite causes. They are often referred to as being altruistic, and that means they have an unselfish regard for the welfare of others. But I have to ask this question: is that really true? Do they have an unselfish regard for others, or do they have a specific goal or agenda that motivates their giving? Do they give to get something in return or to accomplish something that they think is best? Paul's praise of these believers emphasizes their devotion to God. Unlike wealthy people, they were giving, he said, out of their extreme poverty. They were at the bottom of the economic scale. And yet they gave, he says, with overflowing joy. What about your giving and mine? Are we so dedicated to the Lord that we're willing to give, even out of what we think we need? These believers in Macedonia understood their obligation to care for God's people by giving themselves first of all to God. And remember, they had only the Old Testament scriptures and perhaps a few portions of the teachings of Jesus. But like Zacchaeus, they understood that a changed heart results in concern for the well-being of others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so the first motivation that reveals the heart of giving is a dedication to God. Another motivation that reveals the heart of giving is a delight in God's goodness. At the time Paul was writing this, Macedonia was being strangled by high taxes and regulations from Rome. Furthermore, we learn from Acts 17:5 and 1 Thessalonians 2:14 that these believers were also facing severe persecution. We have many brothers and sisters today around the world who face economic hardship and religious persecution as part of their daily lives. So Paul told the Corinthian believers that their brothers and sisters in Macedonia were going through a severe test, and the word he used refers to the intense heat that's used to refine metals. So how could the Macedonian believers delight in God's goodness? They were living in poverty, and they were going through intense persecution. Would you and I be able to delight in God's goodness in similar circumstances? The answer to that question is found in the first motivation that we looked at, a dedication to God. The Macedonian believers realized that all they possessed belonged ultimately to God, and that what they had gained in receiving the gospel far outweighed any material loss they might suffer. Let me ask you a question. Who are the most thankful people you know? Who are those who delight the most in God's goodness? Are they the wealthy? Are they the people who've had an easy life? On one of my trips to Asia, I was invited to the home of a brother who is very active in ministry. We entered a room that I assumed was just part of his home when we arrived at the house. I later learned that this was his entire living quarters. He, his wife, and their son lived in a one-room apartment, about 4 meters square. They share a kitchen and a bathroom with the other tenants who live on the same floor, and all of their earthly possessions, with the exception of a motorcycle, were stored in that room. And yet, this brother displays a quiet confidence in God, and he delights in his goodness. It's obvious, you can see it. I was so blessed to make his acquaintance, but his godly example deeply challenged me. I have so much to learn from you, my brothers and sisters in the developing world. So two motivations that reveal the heart of giving are, first of all, dedication to God, and then delight in his goodness. There's a final motivation that Paul highlights here. It reveals the heart of giving as the desire to share. When a person is dedicated to God and they delight in his goodness, then the desire to share with others is a natural response. Paul writes in verse 4 that the Macedonian believers implored us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So even though they were living in poverty, even though they're going through a time of intense persecution, they were begging Paul for the privilege of sharing in this relief offering for the church in Jerusalem. And he further says they went beyond their ability and gave more than they really could afford to give. Keep in mind that the Jerusalem church was predominantly Jewish and didn't always look with favor on Gentile churches. If you and I are treated poorly by someone, we're not really that eager to help them in their time of need, are we? But this reinforces the level at which the Macedonian believers were dedicated to the Lord. They were sharing in their minds with the Lord himself by sharing in the needs of their brothers and sisters. 4 young Bible college students were renting a house together, and one Saturday morning an older man knocked on their door. His clothes were ragged and torn, and his shoes didn't match, and he carried over his arm a wicker basket of vegetables that he was trying to sell. The vegetables were bruised and deformed, and some of them on the verge of spoiling. But the boys felt sorry for him, and so they bought some of the vegetables. The man left and went on his way, but after that he appeared at their door every Saturday with his basket of vegetables. As the boys learned to know him better, they found out that he lived just down the street in an old, run-down house. They also discovered that he could play the harmonica. He loved to play Christian hymns, and he sincerely loved Jesus. So they became good friends, and the boys tried to think of ways that they could help him. So one day they collected many clothes and secretly left them on his doorstep. The following Saturday morning, right in the middle of all their singing, he suddenly stopped and said, "God is so good." And all the boys agreed, "Yes, God is good." He went on to say, "You know why he is so good?" And they said, "Why?" He said, "Because yesterday when I got up and opened my door, there were boxes full of clothes and shoes and coats and gloves. Yes, God is so good." And the boys looked at each other knowingly and smiled and said, "Yes, God is good." He went on, "Do you know why he is so good?" They said, "You already told us why. What more?" He said, "Because I found a family who could use those things and gave them all away." You see, this elderly man in his poverty had the desire to share with those less fortunate than him, and he had the joy of being the one God used to meet that need. As you think of these motivations that reveal the heart of giving, they are simply a mirror of the life of Jesus. His dedication to the Father was such that he could say, "I always do those things that please him." His delight in the goodness of the Father is clearly stated in John 17, where he said this, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." And then finally, Jesus' dedication to God and his delight in God's goodness gave him the desire to share eternal life with all who will believe in him. That's you and me. Paul ends this text by urging Titus and the believers at Corinth to follow through on their commitment to the church's needs in Jerusalem. He complimented them on their abounding faith and speech, knowledge, diligence, and love. And he closed by saying this, "Now be diligent in giving too." Now you know the motivations at the heart of giving: a dedication to God, a delight in God's goodness, and a desire to share. I challenge you to ask God to develop those motivations more fully in your life.
Thanks, J. Mark, for the first part of this teaching on giving. It is always good to start by looking at the reasons behind our actions. We are creatures of habit, and many times we settle into our routine and don't think about why we do what we do. These three motivations for giving were good, and our challenge is for you to evaluate and think about the reasons you give. The end for today's teaching came quick, but that is not the end of the teaching on giving. Please join us next week for more teaching from 2 Corinthians on giving. If you have any questions about today's teaching, or if you would like to hear it again, please feel free to contact us. Here are a few ways you can reach us. The best way is via email, and our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can connect with us on our website, which is heraldsofhope.org. And of course, it's always possible to write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us however it is easiest for you. Thanks again for joining us on Hope for Today, and we encourage you to join us next week. Till then, may we be faithful, and let's do our best to live out these words of Jesus: "It is more blessed to give than to receive."